It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America, whether you happen to be in Utah or Boise or Seattle. Maybe you're in Baltimore. And tonight we got the Colts taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe you're in Philadelphia, where the Cincinnati Bengals are going to take on the Eagles, or the Eagles backups, or the backups to the backups to the backups for the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you for being here wherever you might be. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to our producer. He's in New York, not in Atlanta. His name is Ryan Botcher. We've talked about these NFL games, these preseason games that are taking place tonight. We just talked about Travis Hunter. He's not playing tonight. He plays on Saturday against the Steelers. Where's he going to play? How often is he going to play? How are they going to fit him in? A matter of fact, we're going to have this conversation with J.P. Shadrick. He covers all things Jacksonville Jaguars. He's on Jaguars Radio Network. He's also on Westwood One. We'll get his thoughts on Travis Hunter and Trevor Lawrence, new head coach Liam Cohen, how the Jaguars are hopefully looking for a little bit of a stability. It's been a while, like forever. The franchise is still a baby, Similac on its breath. Hey, we got more to get into. Travis Hunter just won the Heisman. Arch Manning, he may be the Heisman Award winner this year, but don't expect him to go to the NFL. We got Kelce and Mahomes. They're hyped up for this upcoming season. Roger Goodell is hyped up for the NFL and all the money it's making. Caleb Williams not hyped up. He seems to be making a lot of mistakes with his new head coach, Ben Johnson. He says it's no big deal. Take it easy. And so we have so much to do. At the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. But right now is the present. And I'm here with you. You can call up the show. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Thank you for listening on your local affiliates, the free Odyssey app, Sirius XM 375, and a smart speaker if you have one. We just talked about Travis Hunter, what he can or can't do. We're going to find out soon enough, and not just in one preseason game. I'm concerned about whether or not he will be able to last the entire season. One step at a time. Taking on the Steelers is a good first step. And in speaking of the Steelers, by the way, there are a couple of Steelers who want some money. I'm sure all the Steelers want some more money. Cam Hayward wants some money. Their kicker, Chris Boswell, wants some money. And it's August. What took him so long? Should have asked for this money in July. Anyway, we'll get into that in a while. Let's pick up the phone lines. Before we talk about Arch Manning, before we have this conversation with J.P. Shadrick in a little while, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. Eric, he's calling from Baltimore. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm amazing. What's up?
Man, you bring it. I love it. So, as far as those bugs, I'll get that out of the way real quick. They're called lanternflies, man. They're everywhere. You see one, crush it.
Oh, whoa. I know what you're talking about. No, we're not. They're not lanternflies. No. The lanternflies are the red and black ones that you step on with your feet. They're just there, and they make a mess on the whole sidewalk. Yeah, no, I know.
Yes, sir.
No, Botcher knows. No, wait, hold on. For anybody who's just tuning into the show, Botcher and I had a conversation last break about Travis Hunter and his durability in the NFL. And I said, if he meets somebody like Derrick Henry and it's just air and opportunity between Derrick Henry and the end zone, or Travis Hunter is the only thing stopping him, that Derrick Henry is going to crush him like a bug on a windshield. And for the life of me, I couldn't think of, you know, what is that? There's one particular bug. I don't know what it is. But it just,
yeah, man. You're in Georgia. I'm in Maryland. So
I've driven through Baltimore and Virginia my whole life. 202-954-9539-5. I've driven through the entire East Coast. I've driven all over the place. The bugs are in Virginia. They're in Maryland. They're all over the damn place. I don't know what the bug is, but they're big as people. Okay, these bugs are big as human beings. Okay, I'll figure it out.
All right. The main reason I called was Lamar Jackson, man.
Oh, boy.
What you got? You said, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what I said. Go ahead. I'm waiting. Yeah.
I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL, man.
Okay. All right. You want me to argue? I mean, I wouldn't pick him at number one. If it were me, I'd take Patrick Mahomes first. I'd probably flip a coin between him and Josh Allen. But, I mean, we know he's top. Look, there are four quarterbacks in the NFL without a shadow of a doubt that are the best. The three that I just named and Joe Burrow. Everybody else has to fall in line. And at this point, who cares if Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the NFL? Who cares? Go win a Super Bowl. Like, if you're so good, go win a Super Bowl. Like, who cares?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You should have won the MVP last year?
I would have given him MVP last year. I think Josh Allen was deserving, but I think Lamar Jackson had a historical season. I would have given him the MVP, but I'm not going to be angry about Josh Allen winning it.
Yeah, Josh can sling. He's a tough dude, too.
Yeah, he's a one-man team, no different than Lamar was. And I think they've put more help around Lamar. We have to see what the help looks like up in Buffalo. Now you got a Keon Coleman moving into his second year. We got to see how the Buffalo Bills develop.
Well, the Ravens added some good stuff. But, hey, look, man, it was great talking to you.
Well, thank you.
You're the best, man.
I appreciate you, man. You take it easy, all right?
Yes, sir.
Shout-outs to Eric for calling from Baltimore. Yeah, I think the only people who care really about Lamar is the best or Josh Allen is the best. The only people who care are people in Baltimore and Western New York. Nobody else cares. And I like both of the guys. But at the same time, I'm just like, who cares? Damn. MVP this, MVP that. Who cares? They could trade MVP. How about this? Three, four guys, the four quarterbacks that I just mentioned, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes too. All four of these guys, they could trade MVP every year. Who cares? Who's winning the Super Bowl? That's it. Nothing else to think about. Nothing else to pay attention to. Who's winning the Super Bowl? As simple as that. Botcher, nobody knows what type of fly these. Yo, Botcher, these flies are the size as human beings. They're huge.
I Googled it, and the browser immediately crashed. I think they're trying to hide that these are like experiments from the government.
Oh my God. Well, I'm just driving through Virginia and I'm driving by the FBI base and all of a sudden it's just boom, he has flies. Is that what it is?
Yeah, mutated flies. Or I saw crickets maybe.
Crickets. Locusts. Possibly. Yes, possibly. Now, here's a question. I think I know the answer to this. Have you ever seen The Fly, the movie?
I know of it. I know Jeff Goldblum gets merged with the fly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but you've never seen it.
No, it's a little outdated for me.
Oh my God! Here we go. The insults. Oh my God! Outdated. Given the fact that it's 2025 and that movie came out in what 86. I mean, we didn't have the graphics. What do you want? You're going to tell me that Alien? Is Alien also outdated for you?
No, I'm just saying it. It's not outdated to where I wouldn't watch it. It's just I haven't gotten around to it. It's like I've seen The Thing, and that was like the first generational like prosthetics horror.
Okay, all right. You've seen E.T., right?
I've seen E.T., yeah.
You probably saw the digitally altered E.T., right? His face looked okay?
It's an alien, so I don't know what okay is.
No, bro. The original E.T., he was rubber face. There was nothing cute about him. Now they made his face all digitized and animatronic. Come on, man. It's like Star Wars. If I sit down and watch the original Star Wars that I had on a VHS, man, it's night and day versus what I'd get on Disney Plus. Because Disney Plus has basically taken a giant computer marker and they've wiped across the entire Star Wars series. So everything that looked old and ratty on a 13-inch television 40, 50 years ago, now all of a sudden it looks amazing for a new generation. You can't have new stuff, old stuff look like crap anymore. You can't. which I think is true.
They did actually edit the last movie. So that's Return. Is it Return of the Jedi, the third one? And they put Hayden, what's his name, Christensen?
Yeah.
The guy who played Anakin in the prequels in ending as like one of the ghosts.
Oh, the face. Yeah, come on, man. We don't need that. I was fine with the first three Star Wars. I didn't need all these other. I like Star Wars. I didn't need all these other ones. Come on now. Anything to make money. Make me buy Disney Plus to watch The Mandalorian. Anything. I told you, they're stealing our money, people. They're stealing our money. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I can tell you about somebody who doesn't need money. Family is loaded. Hey, Uncle Eli, let me hold a mill. Hey, Uncle Peyton, let me hold three. Hey, Grandpa. Grandpa. How many restaurants you own down in New Orleans? I'm talking about Arch Manning. This guy don't need no money. Family has made money hand over fist for generations. And I've joked about this, not really joked about it, but I think there's some logic here behind it. I've been waiting to see Arch Manning play forever. We've heard about him forever, since he was in high school. It's like we got Peyton and Eli. He's both of them. Plus, he can move. Unfortunately, playing at Texas, he had to sit behind Quinn Ewers. I'm not going to say unfortunately. Quinn Ewers is typically always hurt. By the way, it sounds like Quinn Ewers is having himself a good camp with the Dolphins, so good on him. But we didn't see Arch Manning much. They'd put him out there and go, hey, man, run. He'd run 5 yards and slide. They'd say, all right, sit your behind down. And the only time that he really got a chance to start was against Louisiana Monroe. And he went out there, and that's a bum team. They smacked him 51-3. So Arch Manning is going to get his chance. Hopefully he's a Heisman candidate. I'd love to see it. Texas went to the college football playoff. They lost to the eventual champs, the Ohio State University. What is Arch Manning going to do? I can't wait to find out. But one thing that we did find out is that it doesn't matter how good he looks, Heisman or not, apparently Arch is not going to be in next year's draft. He basically said, or his grandpa, Archie basically said, listen, expect him to stay in Texas until he completes his degree. Come on, man. We can't. Who wants to wait for that? I want to see him in the league next year. If I'm a fan of the Saints, they got Shuck out of Louisville? Who's going to be starting for them? The Saints are trying to suck for Arch, and he's not even going to be available. Eli got his degree, Ole Miss. Peyton Manning got a degree, Tennessee. And I guess they're just going to continue this. They don't need the money. It's not like Arch is not making money already, by the way. In college, this guy's got NIL deals. Is he in a video game yet?
Is he not on the cover? Or wasn't the cover? He wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't, but then they paid him more money than everybody else, and now he's like, I'm in the game. Come on now.
Yeah, he's making way, way more than the average college football player would be.
Yeah, these guys are getting a couple hundred, I think. If you opt into the game, I'm sure his goes into six figures, okay? It's kind of crazy. Cam Newton, on his own podcast, he's like, listen, man, the Mannings, they're not playing around with this guy's future. They got it all planned out.
They went into the University of Texas with the understanding that they're trying to put Arch Manning in the best situation to be developed over time. It's not about playing. That's going to come. But who's going to develop this specific talent to be the best talent by the time he's eligible to go to the next level? A lot of these parents and a lot of these players get so jaded off of the fact that, hey, I'm trying to play early. No. Scratch that. Go somewhere that after 3 years, you could put yourself in a position to go to the league. That doesn't mean that I'm going somewhere where I could play early or start. Just because you're starting doesn't mean you're getting developed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he's had development out of the womb. His last name is Manning. If my last name was Manning, I'd be throwing footballs too. And of course, he's going to end up on the team. They're going to do the same thing that they did with Uncle Eli. He ain't going to no bum ass team. He's going to go to a team where he can develop. Sorry to the New York Jets. Sorry. No such thing. If Justin Fields doesn't work out this year, you won't see Arch Manning in 2027. I'd love to. I hope he wins the Heisman. You want to talk about a player? There's no player that I want to see more this upcoming season than Arch Manning. Unfortunately, the NFL is going to have to wait. And if you're the Manning family, what's the rush? There's none. They're loaded. And so is Arch. He can make money in college. His uncles and his grandpa, they could not. Who needs the money? Not them. It's all about development. Might as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with J.P. Shadrick. He covers all things Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network, as well as Westwood One. We'll get his thoughts on a guy who just won the Heisman and Travis Hunter. We'll have that chat with JP to talk the Jags. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we got some NFL preseason action tonight. But man, one of the athletes that people are really looking forward to seeing won't be in action until Saturday. His name is Travis Hunter. Going to be making his NFL debut against the Steelers with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars have a new head coach, Liam Cohen. They're trying to advance the career of Trevor Lawrence. They're trying to figure out who their running back is going to be. Everything is new in Jacksonville as they look for some stability again. Joining us right now is someone who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars, whether it's writing, on the radio, it's Westwood One. Joining us right now is J.P. Shadrick. J.P., thank you for the time.
You got it, man. Great to be with you. And, yeah, stability would be a nice word around here. It's been a little while.
Oh, I feel like every year they're looking for stability. Before we get into Travis Hunter, that's probably the biggest story for the Jags on a national basis. What is the vibe like around Liam Cohen, knowing that he's new to the scene, first-time coach?
You know, a youthful energy, I think, is a good way to describe it. He's in his 30s still. He's been around the league for a little bit in a few different capacities, a couple different stops. So doesn't have a lengthy NFL career yet, but, hey, it doesn't matter now. He's in the chair, and he's got the whistle around his neck, and he's running the show. And I think there's a little... just a different youthful energy, a little more of a connection, if you will, early with the players on the roster. I think he's really endeared himself to those guys pretty early in the meetings in the off season and building that throughout the off season program. And now in the training camp and has instilled his system the way he wants to do it. And I think they've responded so far. Now we'll see when real games start to happen, how they truly respond. That's the only thing that really matters. But so far, so good with Liam Cohen. You know, he's got to build his processes too, you know, his assistant coaches, where they are on game day and who's talking to who. And those things will kind of work themselves out, I think, as the preseason goes along. But in terms of the messaging of the players, and having a clear vision of what he wants this organization to be, it couldn't be more clear right now. I think it's a fantastic start for Liam Cohen.
J.P. Shadrick is here with us, covers all things Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, we know the guy leading the team from the offensive side of the ball is Trevor Lawrence. Over the years, he's either dealt with a new coach, which there have been plenty. He's dealt with injuries, inconsistency. I'd say all things considered, he hasn't lived up to the expectations, even with everything that has gone on around him, which hasn't helped. What are your thoughts on what we should expect from him this upcoming season?
Well, it's a good point. This is now his third offense in what will be his fifth NFL season. So that's a lot of change, not unprecedented. A lot of teams change coaches and the same quarterback and things happen, you know. But you know, this one for Trevor, he's been hurt the last 2 years as well. Some significant injuries. He had a shoulder injury last year, left shoulder, and then was knocked out the rest of the year with a concussion. Aziz Al-Shaair hit against the Texans, knocked him out. So, you know, he's dealt with some of the injury stuff, and he's healthy now. He's back. And he understands. I mean, he's already got his big contract, so he's got to live up to it even more now. And that's why I think his focus has been rock solid this offseason and in learning the new scheme and, you know, trying to lead the way with this offense. And, you know, for him, it's a lot of mechanical stuff. I mean, going back to the basics of footwork, pre-snap, during the snap, with the progressions, the way Liam Cohen and Udensky, the offensive coordinator, want him to work through this offense. And that's still a work in progress for him. He sometimes says he goes back to some of the old footwork habits that he had before, and that's just going to be a work in progress as we go. And then I think a part of it, too, there were moments where he was a little hesitant down the field, you know, where maybe he didn't trust, you know, the offensive line at times, maybe. And you could tell that, oh, I'm not going to let this thing go. And, oh, what, you know, I don't need to force it in certain wind. Sometimes you just got to let it go. And we saw him let it go when he threw four interceptions in the first half of the playoff game 2 years ago. Yeah. And he had nothing to lose. Might as well throw it some more. And then you saw the result. Like, started hitting it. Like, let's just let it fly. So he's got it in him. He's proven that. It's been a little while, but a little more consistency with that. Down the field, just trust your playmakers, trust your offensive line that's now been retooled a little bit here, and go from there. I think he's a smart enough quarterback and a good enough leader in the locker room, and I think he still has the respect of the room to be able to get this team going in the right direction offensively. And he's got the help around him and the coaching staff too. Those guys are lockstep with Trevor, and let's just see it when it comes real. I think he's got a real chance to, I'm not going to put numbers on it because it's hard to do right now. I haven't even seen the offense, you know, I feel what it's going to look like. But I think his head's in the right place and I think his body's in the right place. So that's a fantastic start.
Okay. Well, JP, you talk about the offense. Trevor, over the past several days, he's been very vocal about who he wants to see primarily on the offense, and that's Travis Hunter. Realistically, Liam Cohen obviously isn't just going to tell everybody the plan. What are your thoughts on what we might see from him this upcoming season when it comes down to snaps on both sides of the ball?
Well, I think we're seeing the plan every day in training camp so far, at least – this past week, he's played on both sides of the football in every practice. You know, so he'll come out there as a wide receiver in the wide receiver jersey, and he'll have the temporary jersey that it puts on top to play defensive reps, whether it's in one-on-ones in a period, and then he'll go back on offense. And you know, early in camp when he was dressed as a wide receiver, he would, during special teams periods, go over with the defensive coaches, like three of them, and run through some kind of walk through scenarios and on a side field. So he was not wasting any time at all, even when he was only doing one side of the ball in practices early. He's graduated now to doing, okay, let's do both sides in a practice. He did it in the scrimmage last Friday night, had a couple catches, had a pass breakup, and was all over the place, which was good to see. And then in practices this week, he's just continued to perform pretty well. I mean, honestly, he's made some catches. He's you know, really good in the red zone and in contested situations in the end zone. Like, he's been pretty good with that on both sides of the ball, mind you, breaking up passes on defense. And you know, the mental part of it's going to be the thing. He still said it today, even you know, this is what I do. The real trick here is getting the coaches to figure out how to do it, you know, and because he's adamant that he's going to be able to handle it. He proved that he can handle the weight of it, the reps of it, at least in college. Does that standard stay in the NFL with a little bit of added speed and strength of all the players around him? Time will tell. Liam Cohen said today, I think he was with Kay Adams today here at camp. Yeah, he's going to play both sides on Saturday against the Steelers, but probably maybe a little bit more defensively. That's the more natural spot right now for him because it's a reaction kind of setup in the way they play defense or are going to play defense here. You're kind of looking at the quarterback a lot of zone is the idea, I think. So you might see some more defense than offense this week But I think honestly, as the season goes, it might just depend on the matchup. You know, if they're playing a run heavy team, let's say Baltimore comes to town, which they're not on the schedule, but you might not see a lot of Travis Hunter, right? Yeah. He may not be in there in big running situations, and that's okay on defense. And the same can be said for the offense. If the plan calls for him to be out there as a third guy and do all the things that they want him to do, okay, so be it. I think they can adjust it. There's no hard rule, you know. There's no rules at all in this because this hasn't really happened before. So they just got to see what he can handle. And the mental part of it's the big part. I mean, you know, early in camp, there were a couple moments where he's lining up in the wrong spot on offense. He cleaned some of that up. And then, you know, how can he handle both meetings throughout the weeks? It's a fascinating thing to watch. It really will be. And it has been fun to watch, actually, at camp. That's what everybody's watching. Let's be honest. So when the camp was open to the fans, yeah, every time the ball went his way on either side of the ball, everybody's locked in to see what happens. So that's the selling point.
Absolutely. Well, you talk about him playing offense and defense. Last year was just bad for the Jags on offense and defense. We know what he can do on both sides of the ball. It's just a matter of when and how often. What can we expect from this defense? I mean, are there places where they improve, where you feel more optimistic? Like, they were bad on defense as well.
They were really bad on defense. They are. You ain't lying, man. They were like 31st in the league in most everything. And it was just a mess last year, honestly, from the coaching to everything on defense just did not work. So they've got edge rushers, obviously, two first-round picks, Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker. And Walker's had 10 sacks for three straight years, kind of quietly just consistently getting better as an all-around player. So that's good. Interior, the D-line, still some question marks. A couple injuries in camp so far. Eric Armstead hasn't been out there a lot. Mason Smith, the guy they like a lot, has been dinged up with a lower body injury. So he hasn't really been out there a lot. But they're counting, I think, on those guys on the interior. And they got Devon Hamilton as the nose tackle, big, sturdy guy in the middle that they're confident in, too. Linebacker play has been inconsistent. They got Foye Luakun, veteran player who's kind of leading everything. He has the green dot on his helmet, so he's the one that's kind of getting everybody lined up and ready. What's Devin Lloyd's fourth year look like in the league? He's been really inconsistent linebacker. Can he take a step somehow in this defense? And the whole back end is retooled, too, pretty much. Tyson Campbell's back. Jarian Jones at corner. Jarian Jones has kind of been that nickel corner in his rookie season. They could move him around outside if needed. And they go in free agency and get Jordan Davis from the Dallas Cowboys, who played 8 years there and is kind of considered one of the top nickel corners in the league, and he's proven it in camp. I mean, he's making a play every day at least. He's a vocal, you know, and controlled in that environment and practice, vocal kind of guy. I think when the games get real, he probably barks a little bit more, which is fine. That's how he plays. But he's been playing really well in practices, which is awesome. And then the safety spots are up for grabs. I mean, they brought in Eric Murray, 10-year guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's competing for a spot. They've got Antonio Johnson, who's been here for a couple years, hasn't really turned the corner yet. They got Andrew Wingard, who's been just a solid veteran player here for a number of years. And then Darnell Savage, who's been around for a couple years here now, too. So those spots are up for grabs. In the depth chart, they're co-starters at both safety spots. Like, it's one or the other. And so that's a big question on the back end. However, it's a little different feel because they're all veteran players. They're all guys who've been out there before and have, at least it feels like so far, a sense of where they need to be and where everybody else needs to be in the defense. And that was something that really, really hurt this defense last year. They gave up so many big plays, deep balls down the field, and because the safety's in the wrong spot or takes the wrong step or is lined, you know. So they're hoping that the veteran safeties and defensive backs they brought in cools that down a little bit, and they don't have to be the 2000 Ravens, right?
Nope.
I mean, they just got to be middle of the pack. If the offense is going to step up and play and score, they feel like they can be able to compete.
And knowing all the adjustments for this season, JP, you take a look at the division. The Titans have a rookie quarterback. We don't know what he's going to do. The Colts have two quarterbacks. The Texans are trying to bounce back from all the injuries that they had last season. How do you think the Jaguars fit in here in the AFC South?
Well, I think they fit right there near the top of it if they have their act together, you know, for all the reasons you just said. There are a lot of question marks in those two other places. But the Texans game early is going to be the key, I think, for me, early in the season. I forget which week it is, but it's pretty early. If they can get that game, then you have the advantage. There's not another AFC South game for the Jaguars for a long time in the season after that Texans game. So they need to get one in their belt in their back pocket and then go ahead and try to work out the rest of the schedule until they get back in divisional play late. And I think that'll be a key, you know, turning point early in the season, that Texans matchup. And we'll see. It's always fascinating football when those two teams get together, especially with what happened last year with Al-Shaair knocking out Trevor. Is that still in play at some point? Does that even register on anybody's, you know, conscience going into the game? Who knows? Right. But that's it's an intriguing division with those two teams, the Texans and the Jaguars, I think, duking it out towards the end.
Oh, we'll see. Hopefully we get some improvement. I know the Jags fans certainly hope for that as well. JP, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they could follow you and your work on the radio, online. Fill us in.
Yeah, Jaguars.com, official team website, is where all of our content goes. Usually we have the Jaguars YouTube page as well, all our shows during the week. Internally, we're in the building. Our studios are right there. We've got great access behind the scenes with our Hunt series. So team meetings and all the things, interviews with the brass and players, that all comes up as well here in the next few weeks. So there's a lot happening, man. It's great access for us, and it's a fun time to be around here, man. There's a different kind of energy here this year, which is fun so far, and new stadium on the horizon, updated, coming up in a few years. So yeah. some things are looking up for the Jaguars.
Yeah, and we always know the Jags make that trip out to London, so enjoy that one too, JP, okay?
Yeah, it'll be a big one, the Rams in London this year, and the connections between those two teams. So let's get some wins before heading across the pond. That would be helpful this time.
Yeah, that'll really be nice. Hey, JP, thank you so much. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Hey, you got it, man. Great talking to you.
All the time. Shout-outs and thank you so much to JP Shadrick. Covers all things Jacksonville Jaguars. He says they have a good chance to compete in winning the AFC South right along with the Texans. Sign me up. I mean, we got too many. We got some strong divisions. This might be one of the weaker ones. The Jacksonville Jaguars have to carry some of their weight. We just can't have the Texans out here just beating up on everybody, okay? The Texans, all those injuries to the wideouts last year, let's see how they bounce back. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back, let's talk about a team in the AFC North. We got a couple of guys on the Steelers who want some new contracts. We're going to get into that. We have more to get into as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and right now it is time for a news flash. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I am not Travis Hunter. Nope. I am not Travis Hunter. Hey, thank you so much to JP Shadrick for joining us in the last break to take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and an amazing athlete in Travis Hunter. Hey, and as you just heard from Rich Ackerman, we got this preseason game going on right now between the Baltimore Ravens and the Indianapolis Colts. As it stands right now, it's about 12 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Anthony Richardson started the game for the Indianapolis Colts. And Botcher, I will let you I'll let you share the news with people. What happened? What occurred?
He got flattened and immediately left the game with an injury. That's being reported as a finger injury.
Was that him that got sacked in the backfield? Was that him?
It was him, by Ojabo. Literally blindsided.
Yeah, I did see that. That was him?
That was him.
And now he has a finger injury?
Yep.
See, but that wasn't, was that his, see, I saw somebody go down. I didn't know if it was him. Was that his fault? That wasn't his fault.
No, the running back completely didn't chip the guy, and he just let him hit him.
Yeah, clear cut, yeah. This is what happens in these preseason games. You have no idea who the hell is out there playing. you know, I assume it wasn't Jonathan Taylor, right? He ain't playing.
No, it's definitely not him. It was a guy, it looks smaller. Like, I think it was number 34. I'll Google it.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
But then now the Ravens rookie cornerback just probably tore his ACL, it looked like.
Well, was it his ACL? His knee was going the wrong way?
And it was like jello, it looked like his leg was.
You're not telling me about Malachi Starks, was it?
No, it was his last name was Cone? Coney?
I don't know. This is preseason.
Good. Yeah, preseason, but the guy's leg was like...
No, but I'm saying in a general sense, forget... You're telling me about a cornerback. Ain't nobody thinking about that guy. Sorry. The idea is you got a dude in Anthony Richardson. He's the story. This man has been busted up and injured in the first 2 years of his NFL career. A lot of it is his own doing. I mean, completing 48-47% of your passes has nothing to do with somebody missing a block. But in preseason, this is what happens. Like, you throwing him out there to the Wolves. You're hoping that Anthony Richardson, you know, can pick up some snaps and get some experience and show everybody that he can't, you know, just go out there or is not just going to willingly turn the ball over or challenge people. And then he gets driven right into the turf. That has nothing to do with him. And so what we got, is Daniel Jones out there now? We got to wait.
Daniel Jones is out there.
Oh my God. This is what they sign up for. You know what? Here, this is Anthony Richardson from last week. Last week, he talked about this competition between him and Daniel Jones, how it's making him better. Listen to what Anthony Richardson had to say.
I just feel like it helps both of us, you know, limit the mistakes that we make because we know what's on the line. It just helps us be able to make plays and just showcase what we can do as quarterbacks for this team. And I feel like it's brought the level of the competition up for the team because they know there's a QB battle going on right now and everybody else is like, okay, they got to compete too. So I think it just helps the whole team. And, you know, we're just excited that we had the opportunity to come out here and compete.
Bad luck. Bad luck. And Batra, we don't know. You got a finger issue. Finger could be broken. It could be jammed. It could be sprained. He could be fine. Do we know what hand it's on?
We don't. At the best, I'm hoping that Shane Steichen is just holding him out as a precaution.
Uh-huh.
As like maybe got dislocated. But it's either way, it's not good that your quarterback is built like glass.
Yeah, what's been reported, Adam Schefter a few minutes ago. Anthony Richardson finger won't return to the game tonight. Yeah, no blank. Anthony Richardson out for the remainder of tonight's game due to a finger injury. Yeah. What? There's some guys that just can't catch a break. And this time, and we don't know the extent of his injury, we may not know until tomorrow. This time, it's not his fault. That's the part that sucks. It's not Anthony Richardson's fault. And so we'll see what Daniel Jones can do. Because, look, if over the next – and I can't see – what is Daniel Jones – what is Steichen say he's going to get? A quarter? Is that what he's getting?
A quarter, half a quarter. Depends on how many drives they get.
Now, if he goes out there, I think he already led them to a field goal. But if he just doesn't turn the ball over, people have a better idea. Daniel Jones helped lead the New York Giants to the playoffs when nobody expected it. We've seen Daniel Jones, God bless him, alongside Saquon Barkley. If he didn't have Saquon there, then yeah, he was going to stink. But he played himself into a contract. Anthony Richardson has yet to have any NFL success. He has had zero NFL success. And I just, you have to, more likely than not, unless Anthony Richardson is going to wow you. Who knows what he's capable of? We have no idea, but unless he wows you, I would think Daniel Jones is going to start the season. Unless they're even or he wows him, Daniel Jones is going to get the start. Daniel Jones is someone who typically gets hurt and injured himself, and so we might see Anthony Richardson here or there. He may get some spot starts, but I really feel like the Indianapolis Colts, they're probably ready to move on from this guy. Bacha, was that not the first drive?
I think it was the second one because they got a field goal on the board.
Yeah.
And then the second one, he got hit.
You cannot make this stuff up. Somebody check on Ryan Hickey. I don't know. Maybe Hickey is maybe he's in pain somewhere based on what just took place. I don't think he's a fan of Mr. Richardson anyway. Colts are going to cult. We can already eliminate them from contention in the AFC South. I think we knew that from day one. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Anthony Richardson has exited tonight's game with a finger injury. We don't know the details. We probably won't until tomorrow. 888-710-4ISN. When we come back on the other side of the break, I told you we got some Pittsburgh Steelers who want some money. They want to be paid. We have some Kansas City Chiefs who have decided to flush the results of last year and try to advance. We have Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell is like, I'm not competing with the NBA. I'm competing with Apple and Google. Okay, Roger, tell me how you really feel. Yeah, we have so much more to get into. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.